Yeah, dude, this is Steve-O. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast. I am here, as is customary, with the illustrious Lowell George Grinoff. Lowell George, illustrious.
I just got a haircut. I'm looking all fresh here. Trimmed the beard off.
I mean, that's right. I was at Lowell's house today, everybody. We are hanging out. We are dropping a new music video soon here. And if you haven't seen our current music video, then you are a loser.
One of the things that I've been doing is this weird little like weight loss thing. So I've been like, I got a nutritionist and a diet and stuff. And the first thing to go that I noticed, like, 'cause I've lost some weight, but the first thing to go was my neck. It's gone. Like, it used to be huge and now it's like no neck.
I noticed that.
And like the beard obscured it some, but it's like I have no neck anymore.
I might be able to almost strangle you. Maybe.
If
I didn't have these little baby hands, these little T-Rex baby hands.
You have weirdly small hands for a big man.
You know what? That is neither here nor there. My hands are fine. My hands are fine, lol.
Like China.
ain't nobody complaining about my hands. Anyway, we're going to talk about the State of the Union address of Drilled Podcast, not of the State of the Union of the United States. Who cares about that? We know we're screwed. But we have a listen. You might have noticed, if you're an avid listener, you may have noticed that we skipped a week.
Two weeks, maybe. And that's the first time. That is the first time we have skipped a week in like 170 episodes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it comes. So breaking news, big announcement. Lowell and I are deciding to take a break with the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast. So this is going to be the last episode for the foreseeable future. We do intend to revive and resurrect the podcast at some point in time. And you might be thinking to yourself, how could Dr. Brady do this to me? How could he do this? This is what I need to get through my day. I know. Listen, I'm sorry. Lowell and I like to, we are building a nonprofit called the Halo Dental Network, which is one of the main reasons why we wanted to build an audience with the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast.
I'd say which came first, the chicken or the egg, for Halo, because I think it was more of a just kind of a playback. It was more of an evolution. Because Halo, the properties of what Halo does actually existed before the Drilled podcast, but it had no form, it had no essence, it had no title or name. And then we started doing Brady called me one fine, nasty evening. I remember that it was like raining out. I was not feeling great. I was not feeling super good. I was kind of sick. I was laying in bed trying to sleep. And this guy calls me and he's just like, we had ran in. He's like, listen, dude, not really feeling my podcast. But I would wonder if you wanted to help me make a new one. And then he started to say, and I'll fix your teeth, because my teeth weren't that good. But I already said,
oh,
yes,
you're talking about when we were doing the stand-up diet, and we are moving the stand-up diet podcast to the Drilled. So I don't know if a lot of people know that we did. I did a 15 episode podcast called the Stand-Up Diet, which was not, Lowell was not a part of at that time.
Nope.
And then we went through some growing pains with that, and we split up on that. I started going straight dental with the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast.
Straight dental. No kissing.
Right up the gut.
Straight dental.
And so in that what makes this difficult is because I think I like the podcast more than a lot of other things that we do. It's a lot of fun. And, but it is, it pales into in comparison to the draw and the reach that we get with other things.
For sure.
And it takes up a pretty decent amount of our time to prepare produce.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, guys.
Believe it or not.
Takes up like an hour a week, you know, it's kind of tough.
Well, no, like what we had illustriously planned is like, there's not only that what people don't realize, but when you bring guests on, there's also scheduling, there's editing, there's a lot that goes into making a podcast for those of you. Well, I'm sure there's people listening that have a podcast, like everybody and their dad has a podcast now. It's just, everything that we do essentially is to grow the nonprofit. Every little facet of that we throw at you with content, music videos, TikTok videos, Instagram reels, whatever, is all really has a singular purpose. Brady's ego. I'm kidding. No, no, it's for Halo, but it's like,
yes.
Yeah, Brady loves the attention. He can't lie about that. But
I do.
There is a singular purpose behind it all. And it is not Brady's ego. It is to push the nonprofit. We push Brady. We push the nonprofit. It's like win-win. One is irrevocably connected to the other. And we're just not getting the traction with the podcast like we are on TikTok. It's insanity on TikTok. If you have not seen Dr. Brady TikTok channel, check it out.
Well, you know, the thing is, we have so many goals and we have so many ways to get to our goals. And we just really have come to the point where we need to allocate our time as efficiently as possible. So we did start trying to hit TikTok hard, and it is doing very well. I think I've been on TikTok for 2 months, maybe a little less than 2 months. And we have garnered quite the following, getting a lot of engagement. And it's working out really, really well. And it's a perfect platform for the Halo content and the other stuff that we do, because we do a lot of fun stuff, you know, too, skits and sketches, music videos, quirky little things, funny little things. There's a lot of entertainment. So I think if you are one of the many, many people listening who are probably like, I don't know what I'm going to do without my Dr. Brady and LOL fix, worry not, because we are actually ramping up how much content we're putting out, not ramping down. We're just firing our fire hose in a different direction. You know what I mean? So you will still see tons of content from us if you would like to.
I don't know about that metaphor, dude. I'm not sure about that metaphor. You know, it's like we're peeing on a different bush, guys. Yes, what's
happening? Yeah. So we do anticipate a day where we can come back to the podcast and make it more meaningful to us and hopefully to the listeners as well. But it requires time, which we need to spend. We both feel like we need to spend that on other things that are actually getting us closer to our goals.
We're busy beavers. I mean, it's like, it's to the point where for me and Brady to just sit down and schedule what you're listening to right now took over a week. Just because we are both busy. He's busy. He's got a new practice, y'all. He's got a blooming TikTok channel that he is pumping out stuff for left and right. I'm working on stuff for him to pump out left and right. We're working on music videos. I've got the nonprofit to run. I mean, there's
Lowell was in Seattle all day long visiting a doctor and getting in all the documents we needed to finish up one of our Halo cases. So And that's an all day expenditure.
There is an unbelievable amount of paperwork involved with running a nonprofit. Keeping track of that alone. And not to mention, I mean, we are for the business that the nonprofit does, like the bang for buck and the amount that we take on, we are tragically understaffed. So it's like something had to go. And we're just like, we're the ball about the social low hanging fruit, you know, and if it's going easy, if the road is easy, we're going to take that road to further the nonprofit. And I just feel, you know, we're not abandoning you. We're just going to leave you to your own devices like a crying child.
But just do come over while. To TikTok. Do come over to TikTok. Do come over to Instagram. Do follow us on the social media platforms where we post all of our content. And, you know, you still get to ride the Halo train with us, which is what we really want for everybody.
For sure. I really think, Brady, though, before, I think we should send these folks off with a bang. I think we should just do our normal thing. There's nothing. Most of the time, I always thought that the most meaningful parts of the podcast were when me and you were just BSing most of the time, because we did work our way around to points. I say that we do this. We talk about what we've been up to, and maybe we touch on current events a little, because there's plenty of those.
We could talk about a top 10 list of the biggest buttholes in dentistry. How about that? Let's name names.
We
are naming names, people. Who is it? Number one, names. Biggest butthole in dentistry. Better not do this, actually. I still want to be known in dentistry. I still want to be, taken seriously in dentistry.
Oh, man, I was so ready. I had some ready, Brady. Like, I know the world of dentistry. I'm getting very well known. Like, I know, like, the ins and outs.
Yeah, well, you already know who some of these are. Oh, that's for sure.
I love calling people out.
Maybe. I'll tell you what, this happened. A patient turned me on to a story. Here's the thing. I like hearing from patients when dentistry makes the news, right? Because it's almost always a bad reason. Like, it's never like dentistry makes the news because this dentist is a shining beacon to the community, right? It's like dentistry makes the news because a dentist killed a lion that everybody loves.
Or an elephant or something.
A dentist pulled a tooth while riding a hoverboard and laughed about it to his friends. Like,
that actually was kind of bad. Like, there was bad circumstances.
Dentistry makes the news, and it's almost always a bad public image for dentistry. And this is no exception. So there is, she asked me if I know about this dentist in Nova Scotia who has like 500 complaints against him. And I was like, never heard of it. So I looked it up.
Rookie numbers.
I looked it up. And so there's this dentist who is 78 years old in Nova Scotia. He's a pediatric dentist. And this dude who was a patient of his, well, this dude whose daughter was a patient of his, has this terrible experience where he puts his hand over the child's nose and mouth and yells at her to shut up. Okay. And he posts about it on Facebook. And then more people were like, oh, he's my dentist. And I had a similar experience. And then they started a Facebook group called the Victims of Dr. Whatever, Whatever. And it's got like 2,700 members right now.
Yikes.
The Victims of Dr. So-and-so. I started reading through it, and it's all very similar stuff. But these complaints, this like class action suit against this dentist, goes back to like the 1970s. So he's like the Bill Cosby of dental creeps. He's like, it's terrible.
I'm biting my tongue so hard right now.
Well, without the raping, of course. Allegedly, I don't know. I don't know what.
I don't know about that, but I just like I did see.
We don't know what happened or what didn't happen, but the majority of the complaints I saw were related to like him, like laying hands on the child, like putting his hands over the child's nose and mouth and then telling them to shut up or being forceful with them. What the vast majority of the public doesn't know and probably doesn't understand is that this is not a dentist who's going rogue. This is not a dentist who's going rogue on what, you know, what he should or should not be doing. This is a dentist who is doing exactly what he was taught in dental school. Okay.
A thousand years ago.
We were taught, if you went to dental school in the 90s or before, you were taught the hand over mouth technique. I believe, I want to say it was spoken about in my curriculum. I knew about it for sure. It wasn't something I ever saw practiced, but I did see papoose boards. And papoose boards are these long wooden planks that you lay the child on, and it has little slits on the side that you run straps through. like a gurney on an ambulance, but like way more uncomfortable. And you strap the child down so they can't move or squirm while you traumatize them for life. And it's brought me to the point in my career where I think it's better to not do treatment on a child than it is to do treatment and potentially traumatize them for life.
They have specialized pediatric dentists. I mean, they have guys that...
Well, this guy was a specialized pediatric dentist.
Well, I'm not saying not him. I'm just saying there is places that are geared for children, that have mm-hmm. fun things that keep children engaged, with dentists that work specially with children. And I just think maybe, you know, don't take your guy. Because I'm sorry. There's things that I hear about in the world that if I had a kid and it was my kid and he was sitting in that chair and some old guy put his hand over my child's mouth and told him to shut up, there would be, the guy'd be counting his teeth. I mean, like, you know, just, I can't see how you wouldn't react to that. Like, I would, if I was a parent, man, I'd be like flipping out. Like, don't you lay hands. Don't you lay hands. You know,
yeah. No, it'd be a terrible thing to witness. And there were some studies that went into taking this out of school curriculums where they like measured dentists from like 1979, 1989, and 1999. And dentists just kept on reporting like, you know, potential like psychological, problems from doing this. Here's the thing. I see a ton of 40-year-olds who will tell me, I haven't been to the dentist since I was a kid in my adult life because when I was 8, XYZ happened to me. Some terrible experience, right? So I see all these adults, and they're the ones who suffer, you know? That, like, it's the adults, not the dentist.
I take those stories. I hear them a lot, too, because I just say people ask me what I do, and I'll be like, you know, oh, I work in a dental nonprofit, and they're like, oh, I haven't gone to dentist room forever because when I was a kid, the dentist used a pipe wrench to like knock my front teeth out, and I just never went back. It's always some like outlandish craziness.
Right, that does happen. Regardless, what did happen was something that caused them to not want to go back. Whatever it was, they might be exaggerating that in their head to make it like justify not going to the dentist, you know. But it's still, whatever it was real to them, real enough so that they don't come to the dentist. Because what I do see for sure, without a doubt, is people who suffer the consequences of not going to the dentist, you know. Anyways, so that leads me to my belief that maybe just don't do the fillings. Maybe just don't force it. If it's going to potentially cause that kind of a problem. But you're right. There are like different behavioral management strategies that I probably don't even know about that pediatrics use. But pediatrics are pretty, if there's a cavity on a 3-year-old, they're filling it. If there's a small cavity on a 3-year-old in my office, I'm probably telling people, let's just watch it every 6 months and see if it gets bigger. Let's try to do a good job brushing. I might not do the actual filling. I'll tell them about it.
You're a cowboy, dude. Like, you do a little bit of everything. And it's just like, you're also like, if it doesn't need to be done, I don't feel the need to like put you through that to do it. And we'll keep an eye on it. And if it does become the time where it needs to be done, then we'll do it then. But you're not about like unnecessary dentistry. But I think your model and just like your altruism just kind of built in just for your fellow man is basically like, I don't want to inflict something on you that you don't have to go through. So maybe like, because I'm just annoying, like, you are my dentist, right? So you're my dentist. So like, you tell me stuff. And it's just like there was one time where I was really entertaining the idea of having my very, very back teeth, like implants put in and like having like my very, very back teeth that I had removed, replaced. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you don't want that. And I was just like, oh, he's like, because we're going to have to get in there. I'm pretty sure we're going to do a sinus lift, all this other stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm kept thinking about it. Well, I saw a sinus lift. And you know what? I seen one happen. I don't want it anymore. If I get a Dorito stuck back there every once in a while, that's an easy price to pay for the fact that I seen it. I don't want it. But yeah, he's like, you don't want that, dude. Like, trust me, you don't want that. And I'm like, okay, I do. But when you go to the dentist, like, you know, a lot of people, these people that are 40-year-olds that haven't been to the dentist in years, like, I just talked to a lot of them, And like a lot of like the overarching theme there is they've only ever gone to the dentist when there was a fire, you know, like there was some. So yeah, a root canal sucks when there's a big infection. Yeah. There was one root canal you did on me and you told me straight up, dude, this is going to suck. Like, you're like,
that sounds like something I would say.
You're like, this is not going to be fun. I'm just not going to want you to prepare something. I appreciate it. I'm like, okay, I was prepared. It wasn't fun. That sucker hurt forever. Even afterwards, while we were doing it, it sucked. It just sucked for a while. But you fair warned me, and I appreciated that. You know,
I'm always impressed by how much dentistry you know, Lowell.
It's the industry. It's where I live now. And it's
like, where you live now.
Yeah, so I have to learn it.
You've been in it too long.
I have to learn the trade so I can like talk to dentists. And they like, I actually met a dentist that had no real idea what Halo was on my trip to Seattle. And I was talking to her about the prosthetic they had crafted for the implant supported denture. And I was talking to her about it. I was like looking it over and stuff. I'm like, oh, where'd you get those? And I was like, oh man, you know, cool. What did you do the abutments and stuff? And like, oh, cool. You know? And I just like, we were talking about it and it was like, she's like, you would know a surprisingly amount for not being a dentist. I'm just like, I do it.
Listen, it'll get you indoors. That's for sure. If you're not a dentist and you can talk about dentistry stuff like you can, it's cool. That's why you're dangerous. That's why you're dangerous, Lowell.
Get me in there. Get me in there. Next time you need a filling, let me know.
Let's talk about what you're watching. What's on your radar right now?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you asked. Me and my wife went to the theater the other night.
Oh, you told me about this. This is on my radar, too. I need to watch it.
We went and watched Studio 666, the Foo Fighters slasher flick. It is the best movie I have seen in years.
That's exciting.
Well, I love cheap horror movies, and that's exactly what this was. It gave you everything as you want it. The music was stellarly good. And all the soundtrack stuff, other than the music the Foo Fighters were playing, was done by John Carpenter. In fact, John Carpenter is in the movie. Kerry King from Slayer is in the movie. but my favorite dude in the whole movie, I mean, the whole band was there. They were all great, great movie, was Pat Smear. The guitarist. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He used to be in Nirvana too.
Yeah. He was in the Germs before that. Oh my God. He's so amazing in that movie. He's the best, dude. Like, he's just so awesome, dude. But,
I gotta see that, man.
Stellar music. You know, I love the Foo Fighters because they're, you know, one of the biggest rock bands in the world, but they don't take themselves too seriously. They're just having fun making music and doing all the things associated. Seems
like
with it.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. They do look like a fun group of bros.
Dave Grohl does so many cool projects. He does he did a metal album called under the band name Probot, where he got all of his favorite metal singers like Max Calvera from Sepultura, Kronos from Venom, Lemmy from Motorhead. The list was long, but he also got Jack Black to sing a metal power metal song. He got like King Diamond from Merciful Fate. And he recorded all the instruments himself in the style of these guys and then had them come sing on it. And it's just absolutely stunningly good.
That does sound cool. Yeah. That does sound cool. Speaking of cool metal, I just got done watching Peacemaker on HBO.
Oh, Peacemaker's great. Yeah, I love it.
That is a fantastic series.
Do you really want to taste it?
Dude, I've listened to that song nonstop, dude. And the dance intro. Yeah, dude.
Skip intro. No, thank you. Like,
that's what skip intro. And I'd be like, I'm not skipping the intro. The intro is the best part. So good.
The music is great. Just like, because I watched the Suicide Squad part 2 and I liked Peacemaker then, or the second Suicide Squad. I thought it was great. And
no, I'd never heard of Peacemaker. I'm assuming he's in comic books that I just never heard. I mean, I never got into deep.
think of him like the DC Star-Lord. He didn't really have a whole lot going on. I mean, yeah, he was in there. He's been revamped a few times, but he's basically like Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy, where the movie version of Star-Lord was nothing like the comic book version.
Yeah.
They reinvented him. James Gunn reinvented him for that. But oh my gosh, Peacemaker is glorious. And, oh, there was a string of shows that I was watching all at the same time. And so Wednesday nights, Peacemaker came out. So every Wednesday I would watch Peacemaker. Sunday, The Righteous Gemstones would be on.
I don't know what that is.
Oh gosh.
Oh, am I a loser? Am I a big fat loser?
Well, for me, it's really interesting because my grandparents were very much into televangelists. So I grew up in that kind of televangelist world. In fact, my grandmother was on the Billy Graham show for a little bit, and she was a dancer on the Billy Graham show, and she sang on the Billy Graham show. And then my grandfather also was a pretty big donor to those guys. But I just grew up around televangelists. So like, I just thought that world, I've seen that world firsthand. And it's a John Goodman as like the head of this gigantic super church.
Oh gosh,
there's other people, like one of the dudes from Workaholics, and Adam Devine from Workaholics is in it. The guy from what is it? He's on all the James Franco, Seth Rogen movies.
Danny McBride.
I think so. Yeah. Eastbound Down. Danny McBride.
Yeah,
he's in it. And he's got the Conway Twitty hair. Oh, it's just amazing. It's really
that does
fun.
Sound good. What's that? What streaming service is that on?
That is on HBO.
HBO. All right.
I think it's on, the Righteous Gemstones. It's just zany. Definitely takes some shots at the mega churches, but there's a lot to shoot at there. So I mean,
that's true. Ain't no lie. Let's see. We did current events. We did what we're watching.
In retort to your things that all the only press that dentists get is bad press, or like weird press. There's actually, I did read a news story the other day about a dentist that works with us in Fairless Hills, Dr. Chi, David Chi in Fairless Hills. A gentleman got it. I believe I'm going to verbatim this, but a gentleman got in a car wreck and got his chompers messed up, and he fixed them, and they got like some
Dr. Chi did that.
Yeah, I was gonna,
what's that, dude?
Yeah, I was reading about it the other day in just on the news. I was like, oh, that's really neat. It's good stuff, you know.
Dude, that is really cool. What show was I watching? I forget what it was called. It was a 2020, but it was a show about these kids, this mom and dad who had like 10 kids. And they used to chain them. They starved them and mistreated them. And they chained them to their beds because they would like get up and go eat food. And the mom was like weirdly into Disney. And they had tons of toys and stuff, but they kept them in the packages and never gave them to the kids. Anyway, one of the children like escaped one night and brought the cops back. And there was this huge thing. And mom and dad went to prison forever. And all the kids got like emancipated and freed, but the kids were still in bad shape. I remember seeing the kids' teeth. And I was like, man, I would love to do their ortho, but I don't know how to get a hold of them, you know, that kind of thing. Where it's like, it's hard when you see something, you're like, I'd love to help them out and try to get them hooked up with some orthodontics or something. But it's hard. But I like that about Dr. Chi. That
give it to research department over here. Like, I'll figure it out. I can find anybody.
Put you on the case, dude.
Mentioning Disney, like the weird people that are Disney fans. So when I first moved to Portland, we were in, we were driving down from Alaska. We were halfway through Canada coming down the Alcan. And we got a call that the house we were going to rent, no go. Like they're like deemed unrentable, which means someone was probably smoking meth in it or something. So I was like, okay. We showed up to Portland, nowhere to live. So we had to stay at a Red Lion hotel for like 4 weeks or something like that. It really sucked. We got a sub-level basement apartment in Gresham. Okay, so we had the end apartment. And the guy that had the apartment next to us was kind of not all there. I think his family like paid for the apartment for him. But he had a Lion King fetish.
Oh, dear.
And apparently, because I'd liked him as a Facebook friend, just being like, hey, you're cool, you're my neighbor.
That's a neighborly thing to do.
Oh man, that was a regret. It got like really like sexualized memes of like Simba and stuff.
Oh no.
And then we had this like older trans lady that lived up like above us, and she dressed like a witch. She had the witch hat and everything, and she'd go on these weird walks. And she'd listen to this song over and over again. It was Sail Away, Sail Away, Sail Away.
Just great like, song.
She put on just repeat.
For okay.
Like hours. But anyways, I just say you brought up Disney and that reminded me of my neighbor with the weird Disney fetish, the Simba fetish.
It is always weird when you find someone with a Disney obsession because...
Well, you're talking to a guy. I mean, I love Disney movies, but not in like...
Ooh, well, yeah, but listen, I see your room. You don't have Disney paraphernalia there. You have guitars.
You got to go upstairs for that.
Cool posters. That's right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's what I was trying to do. Here's something that frustrated me. Do you know that it's easier to get your hands on some meth than it is to find a PS5 right now? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know that PS5s are impossible?
Yeah, they have been looking for a long time.
The new Horizon Zero Dawn came out. And it's a sequel to, well, the first Horizon, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to play it. And I've been wanting to get a PS5 anyway.
You're just trying to get your hands on one. And I feel you, dude. Welcome to the club.
Online, there's like these like, people are trying to resell theirs for like $1,500. I'm like, I'm not paying $1,500.
Market value holds what the market value holds, brother.
So anyways, I started looking at Fred Meyer because Walmart's, Target's can't get them. GameStop doesn't have them. When GameStop gets them, the guy working there was like, yeah, sometimes we get them in, but we get like two. And if you're not on our premier list, like you get notified later and then like they sell them immediately. But he said, you might get lucky at Fred Meyer. So I called Fred Meyer's. I called three of them. None of them had them. The third one I called, they did have one that morning, but it sold that day. And he said, we usually get them in on Fridays. So if you come on Saturdays, that's your best bet. Just come on Saturday morning. I shouldn't even be announcing this because I don't want competition.
Well, here, I'll help you out. If I see one, I'll just buy it and you can just pay me back. Yeah, I'll just pick it up. Yeah, if I see one, I'll just grab it and you just pay me for it. I won't upcharge you too much.
I'm in the market, dude. I'm in the market. So I don't even know. Anyways. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy that's like, because it came out a year ago. And I remember thinking a year ago, I wanted it for Christmas. And my wife like tried to get it and it was like impossible. She just had to tell me, she's like, I just got to tell you, you're not getting your PS5 for Christmas. And it broke my heart like a child. And I said, you know what? I'll just wait. Eventually it'll become available. Like super, like I just like go to a Target and pick one up one day. And that day has still not happened. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's like-
Your birthday was a while ago.
Do you think it's like Sony's-
No, like, I can tell you exactly what it is. Okay, one.
Is it COVID related?
Yeah, demand. Demand okay. is high. Supplies are short. The world is in chaos. Those three things combined are just creating the demand is so much higher than the supply.
The world's only in chaos if you think it is.
No, this is this is the problem. One of the things that I do as a side hustle is me and my friend have a pedal company.
Right.
And we have to order microchips from China. A lot of the same microchips that they use and stuff like that. And whenever we get a chance to order them, which is like once or twice a year, we buy as many as they will humanly sell us. Most of the time they're like, you can't buy that many. You know, like, it's like, we're just like, how many you got? Like, how many you want? I'm like, what you got? Like, I'll buy every last one of them because we won't be able to get our hands on them for like 6 months. I mean,
you're like a toilet paper hoarder in the beginning of the pandemic.
Well, everything's digital, man. You got like digital phones. You got everything takes these microchips that are all the same microchips they use in everything. And there's only so many of them. It's just like just a little inside view of trying to build circuitry. Like I have a hard time doing it. We tried to launch this thing a few times, but the demand is way higher than the supply. So as soon as we get something, it's gone because we've got a list.
Dude, that's... Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, dude, please hook me up, man. If you find one,
I'll grab it. Yeah, dude.
You see one, you know, send up the Dr. Brady signal and get me going because I will jump into action.
I'll just be like, fight, ouch. And you'll be like,
I will fight people. I will fight people to get that. So anyways, listen, let's come to an end. Let's bring this, let's wind this down. Unless I'm forgetting something. I do want to thank all of our listeners.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And I love you.
Hope to see you on our other social media platforms, which we will still be ramping up. So, and you'll still hear, you know, I'm just going to rant on Instagram and TikTok instead of the podcast. That's it. You know, you'll
probably see a lot more of Dr. Brady and a lot less of me.
We'll drag Lowell. You might hear Lowell. If you listen to the new video, music video, Lowell puts down some sexy backup vocals.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of that. But
a lot of that. Yeah.
I have a voice. It's just like a elastic. I can make it just do whatever I want it to do. It's just,
very beautiful. Yeah. It's nice. I like
sometimes,
it.
Sometimes, until it's not, you know? Like,
then it will haunt your dreams forever.
Oh, I'm real good at the creepy voice. What I always wanted to be the Lex LaFontaine. Are you familiar with LaFontaine?
I feel like I should be.
LaFontaine was the highest paid man in show business. He was paid $60,000 a minute. LaFontaine was the guy that did "In a World Without Law, One Man Will Rise to the Top." He said the guy that did all the previews for like the act of Jerry Bruckheimer action flicks and stuff.
Got it.
Yeah, like of course he's like the highest man paid. I always wanted to be that guy. I always wanted to do
movies. You could be that guy. You would be good at that.
Yeah, I would. I know.
But listen, I want to sincere gratitude. Love the podcast. Want to come back to it. So just put it on pause and we'll tell you when you can fire up those subscription notifications again. But for now, thank you. This has been an amazing journey and it continues on in a different form. That's it.
So to the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast. Do you want me to do it with the kazoo? I can do it with the kazoo.
Oh, that would be nice.
I'll be back.
Oh geez. Okay. Lowell's in going to get his kazoo. And I don't know how far he has to go for it. Oh, there it is. He's got it. He's coming back. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is too sad. This is too sad. I like it. Lowell has some kind of customized kazoo. Did you make that?
No, it's a wazoo kazoo. I actually use them on my live.
I can't hear you anymore.
I use them to fake saxophone with my band.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's wazoo kazoos. If you like them, get some.
All right. Well, listen, I think that's all we have to say, man. So until we meet again, thank you, everybody. This is me and Lowell signing off.
See you later. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And